Hello, and welcome to the Confident Healer Podcast. I'm Sharmila Molly. I'm a self-love expert, an intuitive healer, and also your hostess for this podcast. You are about to hear inspirational, uplifting, and soulful conversations about the ins and outs of having confidence, maintaining self-love, and sanity as we answer the calling of being a healer and running a business. I would really appreciate it if you could help me grow this podcast by telling others about it and by becoming a patron by donating monthly or giving a generous one-time donation, because it lets me know that you love what I'm doing, and by donating, you're supporting me, a healer running a small business. You can find the PayPal link on the show notes. Thank you so much, and let's get on with the show. Welcome to the Confident Healer Podcast. My name is Sharmila Molly. I'm your hostess and also the founder of my 9-month Confident Healer Training Program. So today I am continuing I'm continuing talking about my grandfather who passed away in April. And I have a very special guest, my aunt, Auntie Nicole. So Nicole is, she's honored to be a mother of two and a wife to her beloved sweetheart, my uncle. She works at an attorney's office as a client consultant. We are changing the way people think of attorneys. And she's dedicated to be a positive light for all. And she also has a hidden talent that she's going to talk about and how this all ties in with my grandfather. And so that's what we're going to talk about today, is her incredible talent, one of her many talents. And so please welcome to the Confident Healer, Nicole Aquino. Yay! Welcome.
Yay!
So thanks for being here.
Of course. It's an honor to be on your show today.
Oh, thank you. What would you call yourself before I label you with this ability that you have? What do you
honestly
call it?
I don't even know. For the longest time, I didn't even realize I had the ability. So I thought it was just my brain playing tricks on me, or just seeing things that I wanted to see. So it wasn't confirmed until I was probably about 20, which we can get into more with a friend of mine, Yuka. And then when it was confirmed, then I was like, oh, this is real. Okay. So I just say that I can have the honor to see spirits. But I don't really know what you would even call it. So,
yeah, because usually I would call it a type of mediumship.
Okay.
Somebody that can, and a type of clairvoyancy where you can see spirits, see people who have passed. So she sees dead people. And describe how you see them, and because go ahead.
So it's crazy. It's kind of weird because I see them just like I see anybody else living on Earth. So it's hard for me to determine if I'm seeing a spirit or not. And I know we're going to get into it more when we do talk about Tava and everything, but I noticed if no one acknowledges the person, then I know that I'm seeing a spirit. So as you know, in the culture, we're very family orientated. So whenever we do see an elder, everyone greets the elder with the respectful, with the respect and everything. And when I didn't see anyone greet this elder, I knew, okay, I must be the only one seeing this person.
I'm getting goosebumps through my two layers of, I've got a cover on and I'm getting goosebumps through. Woo.
Yes. And it was somebody I've never seen before. So I was like, man, I didn't know if it was a friend of the family, or I didn't know exactly who this person was. But then when I realized I wasn't able to, or no one was paying them respect, I was like, okay, this is a spirit over here just watching over Taba. So,
So she's talking about my grandfather. Taba is the, what you would call an elder father. That's the name. There's names for the middle person and the youngest person. And so since he was the oldest living
brother.
Yeah. There you go. It was like not father, brother. So she calls him Taba in Nepali because her husband is my grandfather's nephew.
Yes.
Because my grandfather had a lot of siblings. And so Uncle Shailendra's, I'll just have to say that, Uncle Shailendra's father is my grandfather's youngest brother. So that's why Nicole calls him Taba. And so she's talking about the day before he passed away when he was in hospice. So yeah, please describe. So you walk into the room and no one's greeting him.
So before we actually were able to go in the room, I saw your mom, I saw everybody, we greeted everyone. And the nurses had to go in and they had to do a couple things. So we were in the waiting room. And finally, I had my two kids with me. Your uncle was behind me. And then when we were walking through the door, I saw Tama, so his wife. Yes. And so we're walking in, we see Tama. So we go and I do my respectful, like, get to her. The kids go and give her a hug. And so as you're walking into the room, there's a wall and then it opens up into the room. So when I walked in, I saw her, I greeted her. And then I saw Taba, and to the left, there was a chair sitting there. And there was somebody sitting at the chair. So I'm like, okay, well, your uncle's behind me. He goes and greets Tama. And then Uncle Sam was with us. And then your mom comes in the room. But Shailendra or Sam Guy did not greet him. So I'm like, okay. And I can tell that he's a little bit older. So I know that he's older than those two. So I know he would be their elder, that they would need to greet him. Mm. And so it was the craziest thing, because your uncle is about to go sit on the seat and he was walking to it. And then all of a sudden he just like turned and then he just started talking to Tama. And I'm like,
oh, whoa.
Did they? Yeah. I'm like, did he see him? Like, he knows that someone's at the seat or not? But it was almost as if like, he sensed it, like somebody was there and he couldn't sit there. So I don't say anything. I'm not like, hey, so who is this person?
Right.
So we pay our respects. We hang out for a little bit. You know, we talk with Tama. We're explaining things to the kids of like what's going on, because I believe it was like, what, in 2 weeks, wasn't it their 70th anniversary coming up?
Yes.
Right.
69.
And so, 69th. Okay. Yeah. It's a big one.
Yeah. It was major.
So, like I was telling the kids, you know, they're trying to get them all better so we can have the big party. And, I'm very honest with my kids. So I tell them they know about death. They know it's going to come. We all have an expiration date. We just don't know when. So we enjoy every moment. So I was explaining things to him and everything, but the person that was sitting on the chair never said a word. And as it is, I don't understand the language, but I never saw his mouth move and I never heard a different voice. So I know that he had never said anything. He was just watching Taba. He didn't really look at anybody else, but he was just focused on Tama and Taba. So I'm like, okay. But the energy that I had was very fatherly, very warming, almost as if he was just sitting there making sure everything was okay. That's why I didn't have this sense of he's coming for him. You know, he's going to help him transition or anything like that. I almost felt like he's helping him find his way back here to Earth so we can have this last celebration with him. So it was very warming, very touching, just very secure energy that I felt from him. Mm. I never, once in a great while, I might feel an energy that's not welcoming, but I don't normally feel those energies much. I either don't feel any energy, or I do feel the sense of comfort or positive energy and different things like that. So then once we were done, right? So we're leaving, and I text your uncle, and I'm like, please tell me that you saw the person sitting on the chair. And he was pumping gas when he read the text. And he just turns, because I'm in the back seat, he just turns and looks through the window like, what are you talking about?
I can see his face doing that.
He just turns like, wait, what? So we go and we drop off Sam Dai at his house, or back to the restaurant. And then he was like, so who did you see? And I'm like, oh, I don't know. I've never seen that person before, but it is an elder. I do know that he's older. And then and I just don't think twice about it. I'm like, okay, it's somebody there. So I guess Sailendra ended up telling Rita Didi, mm-hmm. and then Rita Didi ended up telling Rita Didi, your mom.
Right.
And then before I knew it, everyone's like, well, who was it? Yeah. And I'm like, I've never seen this person before. I have no idea. So then that's when they're like, I think it's his dad. And I'm like, yeah, it had like fatherly energy, you know, of that security. So I was like, yeah, it probably is. Well, then they show me a picture and I'm like, yeah, no, that's not him. That's not who I saw. And if you were to ask me, describe him, I don't even remember the full look, but he had this distinctive jaw line, and like that is what stood out. Mm. And as you know, it's especially a lot of Nepalese men, their cheeks are full, right? Like, you know, the structure of their face, they have full cheeks. And this particular person had very like, they just had this jawline and structure cheeks, like not much chubby cheeks, you know, it was is thin and it's just jawline. And I'm like, which is very unique. You don't see that on most Nepalese men. You know, like their jawline is not what stands out.
It's because everyone in our family this person. I'm like, well. I mean, it kind of depends on the family, you know.
Yeah.
Everyone is well fed. I mean, but no, yeah. That's, yes. Yeah, yeah, anyway. But
right? Like, yeah. In some, you know, in some nationalities, they just have a very distinctive jawline and everything. Mm-hmm. And, you know, in our family, jawline's not something that, you know, oh, I can point that out.
Right.
So, but for him, I'm like, I don't know. It's show me a picture of somebody that has like a strong jawline. And they're just looking at me and I'm like, it's the jaw. I can only recognize them by the jaw. So, your dad was like, here, come here. I want you to look at this picture. Is it any of these men? And it was an older picture. And I'm like, no, because the picture of, it would be your great grandfather. He was, you know, well fed. He wasn't, you know, there wasn't distinctive jawlines or anything. Right. And the man that I saw was thinner.
So this is,
you know, not very thin, but.
Right. This is the
photo. The one that's by the door.
Right. Okay. My grandparents' house. Yeah.
Yes. Right. Yes. So, you know, in that picture, your great grandfather is full, you know, I'm right. Like he's, it's a younger picture of him and everything. And I'm like, nope, that's not him. So they show me some other pictures and I'm like, nope, none of them. And they're like, man, I really wonder who it is. And I'm like, I can't help you. They don't. Spirits don't talk to me.
Right.
They don't say anything. I don't even know if they know I see them. I'm thinking yes, because they're allowing me to see them. Mm-hmm. I kind of like to think, but even then, I don't know if they know that I see them, because they don't talk to me. They don't look at me, or, you know, almost says like stare at me like you can see me kind of thing. So I think someone says, show the picture in Taba's music room. And we're eating and everything and everyone's talking. And finally, someone does take me in. And as soon as that door opens, it's a big picture right. of your great grandfather. And I'm like, that's him. Like, he has the jaw. And they're like, It is his dad. So it was actually your great grandfather is who I actually saw. But I guess in midlife, or in his midlife, so not when he was really young, but not when he was old. It was like midlife, I guess.
Yeah, I don't know how old he was when he passed away, because that picture, it's a, you know, my grandfather had it blown up and colorized, and he looks like he could, I mean, especially back then, you know, I don't know when that picture was taken, 1920s or 30s. He was very thin, and he had a stubble. And so to me, he looks like he's in his 50s, but I mean, God, he could have been in his 40s. I mean, who knows? I don't know if they said how old he was in that photo, if anybody knows.
And I agree. I would say maybe late 40s, early 50s, maybe is what it looked like in that photo. But they're like, that's his dad. And I'm like, oh, well, I'm happy we were able to solve that one.
Right.
Because I know they would keep asking me, and I'm like, I don't know. And I know, you know, especially around that time, it was hard to have photos of family members. So, you know, I'm just happy they actually had a photo of the timeline that I saw.
Yeah, it's fascinating how they show up like that. And I know my mom, you know, at the we're outing you at his celebration of life, you know, my mom said that was really comforting when you told us that, or when we found out, because I was with Auntie Rita at the funeral home with my mom and Auntie Sadna, and she was like, you know, Nicole saw one of Baja's relatives and we can't figure out. I was like, what? Oh my God. I didn't have no clue this whole time that, you know, you had that ability to see people. So, but yeah, I just, you know, my grandmother, you know, said that was, you know, just really comforting for them to know that, that he was, that he had other family members there. And
yes.
And I know, and my curiosity, because of the work that I do, you know, working with energy, and I feel spirit sometimes, but I don't necessarily see them unless it appears in my head, you know, and it's not something, I don't know. It's not something that I want to see, but I know when I have friends that have worked in hospice that are death doulas, that they help people and their families transition when a loved one is dying. You know, I've seen lots of, like, there's a few TED Talks about doctors that work in hospice and how oftentimes when they're on the verge of, as they're dying, actively dying, they often see their loved ones, and they'll point. And so he wasn't doing that. He wasn't saying anything like, I wasn't there. I don't know what time you came on Friday, but I guess I wasn't there.
You left already.
I did. Yeah. I guess it was evening. Must have been late.
Yeah. It was like 6:37.
And so earlier that day, he was uncomfortable, and he was pointing, and he was trying to speak because, you know, he was intubated for like 48 hours. So it was hard for him to speak because of that tube. And he, you know, they took it out and he was breathing on his own and everything was, you know, he was fine. But he was pointing to something and he was sitting up, and, you know, he wanted me to help him sit up. So he was pulling, you know, I was helping him sit up, and he was trying to say something, and, you know, I had my mask on, and he was pointing, and I was like, do you see someone? And like the one in the head nurse, and she, and
was
she
he was pointing at the chair?
No, he was just pointing. What he was doing, he was trying to, I don't know. He was pointing like he wanted to get up or something. And the nurse there, she's like, yes, you know, people do see do you see their relatives that have passed? And my mom was like, I was like, ask him, you know? And he was like, no. And he was trying to pee and
okay.
wanted to get up to go to the bathroom and he didn't want the catheter, you know, anyway. So that was, this whole time that he was in hospice for really short, for those 3 days, you know, I just thought, oh my God, is he seeing anything? And I was like, I don't feel anything in here. Like, you know, so I was just like, okay, good. So I'm glad that somebody was able to detect that and see some, cause I didn't know, you know, like how many of his relatives were there, who, you know, if his brother was there. So I was like, maybe it's his brother, maybe it's his sister, you know, so take us back to when did you start at, you know, seeing before you realize that, oh, this person isn't there.
So start. I guess I was able to see when I was younger, but you know, in my brain, I'm like, oh, it's just what I want to see.
So what did you see?
You would see people, but no one like talks to them or no one acknowledges them. So I didn't know. I was like, well, I don't know. Maybe they're just a loner. Maybe they don't want to talk to anyone. So
would it be like when relatives or like, do you
know? It's random. No, it's random people. That's why I'm like, is there a meaning? Like normally they say they allow you to see them, which I understand. But then there is probably a meaning behind that. But I see random spirits at times. Like I could be driving down the road and I'm like, okay, I see somebody on a bike up ahead or I see somebody walking. So I know that I need to be alert. That way I don't end up hitting this person while I'm driving by. I never get to them. Like I will see them and I'm like, okay, but I'll never get to them. I'm like, hey, where'd that person go? So then what I would do is I would mark it. Okay, I see this house coming up. The mailbox is all brick. I should be coming close when I get to that. If you're going down a road at 35 to 40 miles an hour, you eventually catch up.
So do they keep moving? Like the goalpost keeps moving?
It looks, what I see, it looks like they're still walking, but I just never catch up to them.
Wow.
So I always thought maybe I would just see spirits of people that might have passed on that street a long time ago. And they're just walking, you know, I know some people say that when there's unfinished business, their soul can't transition. So they're still trying to, you know, figure that out. And so then I always thought maybe I just saw random spirits that are still trying to transition. But then I'm like, maybe it's just my eyes playing tricks on me, you know, like we just never know. So, when it was confirmed, I was at a really good friend of mine's house, Yuka, and, I didn't have anywhere to stay. So she's like, oh, stay with me for a couple of days, you know, until you get on your feet and everything. And I'm like, okay. And I would help take care of her, younger girls. And so we had come home from work, mind you, we were drinking. So I'm like, I'm beat. I'm going to go to bed. She's like, yeah, you got this, the room upstairs, the middle room. I said, okay. So go in there, take a shower, get ready for bed. I don't see anything. Everything's numb. I don't feel anything. And, I go and I fall asleep and out of nowhere, I just wake up suddenly. And when I look up, there's this big room, window in that room. And I saw this tall man with a blue aura staring out the windows with his arms crossed. And I'm like, man, I really need to stop drinking so much because now I'm starting to see things. And he literally turns at me, looks at me, and then he turns around and he starts looking out the window again. So anytime, you know, you go somewhere with that's older, like, you know, different places that you just know there's history. I'm always like, I come in peace. You know, I state why I'm there. I don't mean any harm, you know, try to give an offering if you can, just so those spirits know that you don't mean any harm. So I didn't have anything to offer, but I just kept repeating, I come in peace. I'm only here to sleep for the night. You know, I mean, I don't mean anything.
That's amazing, right? That you're doing that though, you know, like, cause I'd be like, yes. I'm getting the fuck out. I'm like, no, I'm going to sleep on the couch.
I'm out. See you.
See, you stay here. I'm going to go over here.
This is your room. I'm so sorry. Yeah. I intruded my bed. I'm out.
That's so intuitive of you to be, you know, to communicate like that.
Yeah. So I'm like, you know, I come in peace. I'm only here to sleep for the night, maybe a couple of nights, really just the night. Cause I'm done. And I'm like, maybe it's just me. So I remember I covered my face and I'm just like, just go back to bed. It's okay. And then all of a sudden I realize it's morning and there's nobody there. So I don't say anything because it's kind of odd going, hey, by the way, there's some blue man upstairs.
Right.
You know, like, wait, what? So I want to say we were heading to work because I know she was driving and she had said something. And I go, well, you want to know what's really odd? And now I may sound crazy, but you know what I saw last night? And I told her, I said, you know, I saw this tall man. And he had like this blue aura around him. He was just staring out the window. And now I expected someone to go, oh, you're pretty crazy. You need to stop drinking so much. The alcohol was really talking to you last night. But she turned and she looked at me as if she saw a ghost. Like she was just flushed. And she's like, how do you know that? And I'm like, well, wait a second. I'm not crazy.
Oh, shit.
What do you mean? How do I know that? She goes, when I bought that house, I recorded. And back then it was VHS.
Right.
So she had her camcorder. And she goes, I went into every room and I recorded every room, living room, the garage, and then around the house. And she goes, I sent it to my brother because in Japan, he's a medium. And so I just wanted to make sure that the house that we got didn't have any, you know, bad auras or anything. And I said, okay. And I'm just like, all right, where is this going? And she goes, the house was okay, but the room that you were sleeping in, I guess he was one of the higher chiefs and he was waiting for his daughter to come back. And so where that window is, it's the highest point that you can see the trail that his daughter went down. And so he's waiting there for his daughter to return.
Whoa.
And I'm like, wait, what? So that area was actually was a burial ground for the indigenous. And they had built these houses and she has a 2-story house in the direction that window is. He's waiting for his daughter to return.
Wow.
And I was like, that's when it was confirmed. That's when I'm like, oh, it's not my brain playing tricks on me or me imagining things.
And so
that's when it.
Go ahead.
That's when it was like, oh, this is real. Okay.
So was that, were you like disappointed or like, shit?
No, it's just.
In my head. Was, damn.
Yes. Just one of those things because, you know, you see movies and everything like Sixth Sense, right. You know, and you see these movies and you're like, oh, please don't let that happen to me. I don't know if I can handle that. You know, and plus you don't know, you don't know how to protect yourself from the spirits. If they do want to bring you harm or even if you realize, there's just so much unknown. And at the time I didn't know much about it. I'm like, I don't want to be in harm's way in any way. So I'm just like, oh, so it's real. Okay. Like, what do I do now? But it's not something that happens every day. It's not something that, you know, happens often, but it does seem like when death's around, that's when I really can sense it and I can see them.
I was realizing that, I don't know if you ever met her. Did you ever meet Raj's former wife?
I did not. No.
Okay. So she could also sometimes, and then I think about it, I was like, is she just lying? But she could feel and see spirits as well. And back then when my grandparents lived in Arlington, you know, there's the Timucuan Preserve along.
Oh, yeah.
I don't remember.
Fort Caroline.
Fort Caroline.
Fort Caroline.
There, yeah.
Yes.
Fort Caroline Road. And I'm just wondering if that's, if you can just, the area where that house was. I'm just curious.
So, that area would be on the other side of the St. John's River because it's on the north side off of Alta.
Okay. Wow.
So, and I've been to that fort and I don't remember any experiences, but then again, I don't go out looking either. Right, like, right. Hey, we're going to run in today.
She and I were driving someplace and when we got to the restaurant, she was like, yeah, I saw, like an, you know, a man with feathers. And she, you know, back then it was like 25 years ago. She's Indian, like an Indian, like an indigenous man standing there looking out on the river. And the St. John's. And I was like, oh. And so we, like, there was this one restaurant that was known to be haunted. I said, do you feel anything? She's like, yeah, I feel a few things. I remember going to the bathroom, like, okay, I don't want to see anything. Please don't come around me right now. Like,
I was scared to go to the bathroom.
It was like, we're having lunch, you know?
Oh my gosh.
So I wonder if, like, as a kid, if any particular movies or TV shows stuck out that helped you cope with what you were seeing, or if you talk to anyone.
No. Okay. I would mention it to my mom, and my mom is terrified. She's like, oh, when her mom passed away, she was 18 years old, and she told me, she was like, I just kept telling my mom, don't you come see me. I am too scared for this. I can't handle it. And the night that she passed, I can't remember the complete story, but she was hearing noises and it freaked her out. And she was like, mom, I don't know if you're trying to come see me, but I'm asking you, please, I'm not ready for you to see me. Mm-hmm. And it stopped. And so I wonder to myself if I would have encouraged it when I was younger, if my abilities would have been stronger. But maybe hearing my mom tell me that, where almost subconsciously you're like, oh, I'm not ready for it. I'm too young for this. I can't do it. That I almost made it a disability for myself, not being able for it to be as strong. But nothing stuck out really for me to go, huh. I'm seeing spirits or just, you know, this is what's happening.
So no TV shows, books, or anything in the media would be like, you know, when you were a kid, like, maybe that's what I'm experiencing. No.
That time too, I was taking care of my mom. So I started taking care of my mom when I was six. It wasn't like, I didn't have a normal childhood.
Okay.
You know, we're just like,
oh, I didn't
so
know
my
that.
Mom's like, yeah. So she got into a car accident and the car flipped over her four times. So she was actually pronounced dead at the scene. And the story goes that it was a off-duty paramedic, I want to say. I believe it was an off-duty paramedic. He was driving home and he saw the wreck. So he called it in. And when he got her out, he said, oh God, not another one. Because it would have been his third or fourth victim that night that he would have lost. And as soon as he said that, she started breathing. But she was in really bad condition. And they life-flighted her to Shands. And she ended up, her ribcage was about 30 degrees off-centered. She slashed her ear. Her eye had come out. She damaged everything on her left side of the body. So she was driving a bug, one of the old bugs, and the window was down and her arm was out. So it would have been her left. And so when she fell asleep at the wheel, when it flipped, it's what crushed her.
Oh, shit.
So, So when she went to the hospital, my dad had no idea where she was. Like, everyone was like, oh, she probably just went out partying, you know, somewhere. And my dad's like, no, there's no way. Something's wrong. I can feel it. And he goes, he told the lady that they worked, because they all worked together. He was like, start calling the hospitals. And they ended up finding her. She was at Shands. And so when my uncle, because they worked there as well, went down there, they came back and my dad's like, well, how is she okay? And he was like, oh, she's banged up. And that was it. So my dad's thinking, okay, you know, like a car accident kind of thing. Right. Well, when he went down there, he was not allowed to see her because they weren't married at the time. So he wasn't allowed to see her. And it was only immediate family only. And all her brothers and sisters were called and they had come down there because they were about to read her last rites.
Oh my God.
Because they didn't. Yeah. So she was about to have her last rites read to her. And when you ask her, she says that she remembered seeing everybody and she kept saying, it's okay. I'm okay. I'm okay. But her jaw was broken. So she wasn't talking. And, when they were reading her last rites, she had movement. And when she moved I believe it was her right hand, she had movement in. Once you showed any signs of life, they can't pull the plug on you. So from that moment on, she slowly had went to become better. And so my dad tells me that when the night that he found out about this, he went and he meditated and he pulled her soul from the darkness. And so he guided her back to life. And so the next day they didn't pull the plug.
Oh my God. So how did he know how to do that? That was just
he is very in the art of the ninja and just being one and centered. And so growing up, he's always tried to teach me that. But as kids, you know, we're always like, parents don't know anything. Right. I don't know what you're talking about. And I'm learning on my own. But he's very in tune with himself and just, you know, just in tune with everything. And so I know I've learned a lot from him of just being in tune. And I think maybe that's why I am able to see some of these spirits the way I do. So that's what he said. He says he went, he meditated that night to go find her and he pulled her from the darkness.
Oh my God.
And that's why she's with us today.
Holy shit. That's incredible.
Right? I know. That's it's amazing.
So was she paralyzed from the accident? Or like,
yes. Or she's paralyzed from the neck down. She has the use of her right hand. So she was in the hospital for 2.5 years before she was able to be released. And then she had to go down to my Orlando for rehabilitation to learn how to live this new lifestyle that she is embarking on, because she only had the use of one hand. And this was back in the 80s. So the technology and the things that we know now wasn't there back right. then. So I finally got to see her. So I was 2 when she got into the accident. I was 4 when she went down there. My dad would take me down every weekend to go see my mom in Orlando. And then down in Miami, there was a Miami Projects. And that's what they were doing. They were trying to help and study how to rehabilitate these people in these certain situations. So we moved down to Miami so she could attend that program. She got accepted in and she did that program for, I want to say maybe about 2 years. And then we came back to Jacksonville. So I was 9, 10 when I came back.
So she was life flighted from Jacksonville to Gainesville? Because that's where Shands was.
On 8th Street. On 8th Street.
Oh, shit.
No, we have one on 8th Street. It's the Shands on 8th Street.
Oh, in Jacksonville? Oh, I had no idea.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I never knew that.
Which, yes. So they have a Shands. It's on 8th Street. And that's where she was life flighted to. And she got in her accident. So it would be back then it was in a bridge called the Trout River Bridge. And that's where she got into her accident at, on the north side, coming back from the airport area.
Wow. And so, wow. So the other, my other question. So when it was confirmed, how old were you that you could?
When it was confirmed, I was 20.
Wow.
20. Yeah, I was about 20.
And you never spoke to your dad about it, even though he was.
I was curious. Yeah, I was very curious. I was, but again, it was one of those things where I'm like, maybe I'm just seeing things, or maybe, you know, like as children, you have such imaginations that even if you're dealing with hurt, you imagine scenarios differently in your mind to deal with the pain or the hurt. And so I didn't know if maybe there are characters that I was just imagining, or, you know, almost as if I couldn't tell the reality from what wasn't reality. So that's why I always say, I was like, oh, I don't know. I'm not sure. But when the situation happened with Yuka, that's when it was confirmed, where I'm like, oh, so I really am seeing these people, you know? And that's when I was like, I was more in tune with it then, where I was a lot more respectful and, you know, saging things and like blessing things. And I'm always like, oh, I don't mind seeing the peaceful ones. I just don't want to ever be hurt, because, you know, it's such unknown that you hear these stories where, you know, some of these souls do take over the body where you don't even know it.
Right. So. Possession. Right. Why do you think it's, you can only see it at random? And, you know, I'm just asking you why you.
Yeah. I don't know. 'Cause there has been one time where I've actually felt it and I didn't see anybody, and we were heading to a friend's house, and the funeral car was coming with all the cars going by, and all of a sudden I am crying and I'm almost hyperventilating. And the kids are in the back seat. Cylinder's next to me. And they're like, what the heck is happening? And I was like, I don't know. I feel like I was almost as if they were shot. They were a victim of some sort. It was a horrible death. And I just felt it. And I cried and I cried and I cried. And as soon as the last car drove by, the heaviness was gone. And I stopped crying. And I was like, I don't know what just happened.
Wow.
So I don't. Honestly, I don't know. I don't know. Maybe just so if I'm around somebody, just to let them know that it's okay. They're transitioning. There's a guide for them, and they're going to take them on to their next journey.
Yeah.
Is what I would like to believe what it is.
Yeah. I mean, I mean,
you know, that's my story on it.
I think that's valid. Because I was thinking about it too. And I think that, like you said, you've put up filters, like you only want to see the peaceful ones. And it's not something that you want to see all the time. Because some people, I was just thinking about this morning, I was like, well, you have very strong boundaries with this. And so I feel like maybe that's why it's so random, because it's not something that you want to have it to take over your life. I have a friend and she has medium abilities, and she can hear them. And so what happens is, did you ever see The Ghost Whisperer, that TV show?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it was like that. Like, she would just have like random spirit. Like, sometimes they'd wake up and she'd wake her up and she'd hear whispering, you know? And so then she started, you know, once she started developing her spiritual gifts, she would, created a green room, a waiting room for them to go into. She's like, you can't talk to me. You can't wake me up. You can say your name. And she just, you know, she doesn't know what to do. She's tried to research it. She had to really create strong boundaries. And for you to, and I've had, like, you know, I had a boyfriend one time, he could also see, and he was very empathic, meaning he can feel, energy, specifically of dead people. And he could see them too, as from the time he was little. And, but he didn't know how to deal with it. So it would just, and it just seems like you figured out a way, maybe with somehow with your lineage, your family lineage of because it sounds like your mom can see and feel spirits, and she's like, hell no. And your dad delves a lot into philosophy and meditation. And is he also from Guam or?
No, he's Italian.
He's Italian. Yes. So it just sounds like he's, you know, into developing his spiritual gifts and whatnot. So anybody else in your family that you know of that you've talked to that has any other types of
gifts,
extraordinary gifts beyond the five?
No, not that I know of. I would have to say my dad is probably the one that has the strongest. Mm-hmm. He's very big about being one and centered. And he's the one that really taught me that, you know, anytime you're somewhere and there's history behind that, to always pay your respects and, you know, let them know you're coming in peace and give them an offering if you can, and just let them know that, you know, you're a peaceful soul just like they are. You guys might be in two different realms and that you guys are lined up at this moment, but, you know, try to pay your respects as well.
That's beautiful. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. So tell me about the time when you went to Nepal.
Oh, so
was that when the big coming out to the family?
Yes. So that is probably the most, that experience. Yes, it was just crazy. So we went to Nepal to get married. And as you know, that if anyone passes away for a whole year, there's no celebration. And so we get there and we end up going seeing his grandfather, and the person that I saw that was in the bed, you know, he didn't really talk much, but everyone was around him and I couldn't communicate with them. So, you know, I paid my respects and everything, and we were with them.
Sorry, this is Durga Bajaj's
dad.
Dad. Okay.
Yes, that's her father. And so, and I don't see anything, I don't feel anything, but it's not on my radar to even think of it. Right.
Right.
So I was just excited that I was in Nepal. Like, right. I was so excited about it. So, we end up having the ceremony. We end up getting married and everything. And it was literally a day and a half later, we get the phone call and he's passed away. No. It was the reception day when we were having the reception, and they called and said that Beam's father had passed away. And then it was like the next day, his grandfather had passed away. And those two men were the elders that were, they had high status in Nepal. So of course, a lot of people will be paying their respects. So I remember we were eating lunch, and after lunch, my ba, he came in and he told the whole family, he's passed away. We need to go down to the temple. So now I'm like, oh gosh, but you know, I don't know what to do. I'm going to be respectful. You know, in this realm and in the spirit realm, I'm very big about respect and showing respect as best as I can. And so I'm like, I don't know what to do. Like, what are the do's and don'ts of this? Mm-hmm. And so it was so chaotic. No one really could tell me. And we go down to the temple, and we have to walk through two other cremations to get to where his grandfather is. And as I'm walking through, I just hear this screaming, and I'm thinking it's the family that is mm-hmm. just so distraught that they're losing their loved one. And I don't see anyone screaming of what I hear. And I turn and I look at the body that's being cremated, and it's coming from them. And it's almost as if I am hearing them scream like they're being burned alive. And I'm just like, no. Now I'm fearful. Now I'm like, oh my gosh, this is not good. So then we have to pass through another one, and I hear them screaming, and I'm just like, in my whole mind, I'm like, please have a safe journey. Please, you know, I hope someone's there to guide you. Like, I'm just trying to send out positive energy to these, I don't know who you are, but here's some positive energy, because, you know, we all need it. So we get to where we need to be. It's the third column where we're at. And we go and we sit up. It's almost like a stadium where you're just sitting up and then the body would be down here. And the priest is there, the body's there. And there's so much things that need to be done before you can pay your respects to say goodbye. All that's happening. Everyone is crying. And, you know, I'm empathic as myself. So I'm crying because I just feel all these emotions. Mm-hmm. And I look down and I see where the priest is and there's someone standing next to him. And I'm just so drawn to them. I don't know who this person is. And it was a shorter man. He was a little stout. He had these big black glasses on and he was in the Nepalese attire that, you know, the traditional, mm-hmm. Attire. And I know that his grandfather had high status. So I figured I was like one of the elders. So everything's going through. And then now it's our turn that we need to go down and pay our respects. And they're trying to explain to me what I need to do, but yet still mourn themselves.
Right.
And so we walk down there and, you know, you start at the head, you got to put the water in the mouth and you're going around. And as I go around, the river is right there. So you have a ledge, maybe about that much to walk along with the body. And as I walk along to get to the feet to do your baguette, the person that I had been staring at with the priest, there's no ledge there for them to stand on. Like they're just they're floating, basically. Right. They're just floating. And I was like, wait, okay. And not like my brain's like trying to comprehend, deal with all the emotions. I'm still freaking out about the screams that I'm hearing. Right. And I'm just like, overload too much.
Right. Oh my God.
So I'm like, okay, you know what? Maybe this is my imagination. So we go back up and like, I'm crying. And Sandra's probably looking at me like, you don't even know them. Right. You act as if you've known him your whole life and you just lost a father figure or something. And we get back to the house. So all that's done. We get back to the house. And I remember I just ran up to the balcony and I'm in a corner balled up and I'm crying. And he's like, what happened? What's wrong? And I'm like, I don't know. And now it's just all coming out. I heard these people screaming and I think it was the people screaming. It wasn't like coming from their family. Like, I think I heard them burning alive. And then I'm like telling them all these things. And I was like, I don't know. Then I just saw this man there and oh my God, you had to see him. He was like short and he was like kind of chunky and he had these big glasses on. Like, I don't know. He just had these big black rimmed glasses on. And he was like all dressed up in his attire. And he looked at me and he was just like, okay, I'm going to go make you some tea. You know, you just do what you need to do. And so he told his aunt, so it would be the daughter, Tama Durga, the daughter, what was going on. And that's when they told me I saw the grandfather. And I'm like, no, he didn't. That's not who I saw. The man that I saw laying in that bed, that's not who that was. And I'm like explaining again, they're like, that's who my grandfather is. That's what he looked like. The person that you saw, that's like in his worst form of life where his body was just going downhill. They're like, you saw him in like, I guess his prime.
Wow.
And I'm like, wait, so they didn't show me pictures or anything. I was able to describe him and he was the only one that was so vivid, I guess, that I was able to describe it. They all knew who I was talking about. And I've never seen his grandfather's pictures or anything. So like I said, the person I saw laying there was not who I saw. And I'm like, are you sure?
So Durga Bajaj's father passed away.
Yes.
And this is Shalendra's kind of
grandfather.
Grandfather that passed away. mm-hmm. One of the many grandfathers. Because Durga Bajaj, I know we are related on both sides of the family with through Durga Bajaj. So mm-hmm. Durga Bajaj is Bajaj means grandmother. She, I just want to explain, she is married to my grandfather's younger brother, Trune Bajaj. They're both alive. And so that's why I was confused. I was like, well, how is that? I was like, I don't know how Nepalese and our relations and, you know, so this is your grandfather. I was like, well, it's his grand. So it was his. So Trune Bajaj is his uncle, Selendra's uncle. And then Durgabhaja's father died, that would be his granduncle.
Yes.
Through marriage. So it's his, okay, so just kind of getting that.
No. It's his actual grandfather, because the young middle daughter would be my, what I would call mom. So that would be my mom, which is Sailendra's mom. So Kama Durga and his mom, they're sisters.
Oh my God.
Yes.
Jesus. Okay.
So you have, three brothers, it's Santa, Chanya, and Ganga, right? And then your grandmother, she's from one family.
Right.
But then Chanya and Santa had married the sisters.
Oh my God. So funny.
I know. So they're sisters. So no, it is his, that's his grandfather.
Okay. That is his. Okay. Oh my God. I forgot. I mean, I don't know.
Yes.
So many.
There's many, many.
There is. Okay. Wow. So you saw him in his younger form. So he was there watching.
Yes,
wow.
He was there.
Wow.
It's almost as he was just watching every, and he had this smile. He had this charismatic smile about him that is like, he was very proud. It's almost as what I could say, like he was very proud of his family, and he was very proud that everyone had come down to see him for his last, you know, almost like his last hurrah before, you know, he's transitioning. I didn't see anybody with him, but then again, I wasn't there, like when he was about to pass, cause it was already a few days after when I met him, but all I could say is it was very proud. The energy that I got was that proudness. Like he was so proud of his family. He was so proud that, you know, of all his accomplishments. And so he was just so proud that everyone came and paid him his respects. And, you know, like I said, he just had this smile about him. He's just, you could feel that warmth off of him.
Wow.
It was amazing.
Wow. And how long ago was that? Because I can't, was that like almost like 10 years ago when you went to Nepal or less?
12 years.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Did you guys go again?
Because that's when.
Since then?
I'd only been once.
Oh. Okay.
And that was the time, but that's when. What is it? Every 12 years, they have that special ceremony just for the Nori people, I believe. It's like the special, it's like it happens every 12 years.
Well, yeah, there's something called a Mela, and that's where everyone goes to.
Is that where all the gods come out? No, this one's only for Nori people, and the gods will come, and they're all dressed up.
Oh, right.
And there's that special god house that they're all in, and then they come out and they, all the people will welcome the gods.
I can't remember what that, it's been a long time.
I know, I can't remember the name of that ceremony, but that's when we went. It was a really big deal. I had a lot more stories than I thought.
Wow. So that's how you deal with your abilities. It's just kind of random, and you just bless them. And wow.
Yes. No, I was talking with someone else. I'm like, maybe you should ask them if you could help them. And I'm like, I don't know how I'm going to help them, but I'm like, oh, maybe I should try it, you know, see what happens. So my next encounter, I will let you know how that goes.
Okay. Yes. We'll do another
episode. If I get the ability to do that.
Well, there's, you know, there's lots of, you know, like Tyler, the medium, and, you know, Long Island medium, and people that you can see what they're doing. You know, they're mostly talking, a conduit for bringing messages to loved ones. But I don't know. That's fascinating. That's amazing. That's cool that you want to step a little further into it. Well, I don't want to take up any more of your time. I think we went a little over, but thank you so much for wanting to share this really beautiful gift that you have that brings a lot of comfort and maybe a little discomfort to you at the time. And I just want to, thank you for sharing all that.
No, thank you for having me. It's a pleasure. It's an honor to be on the show and to share my experiences and the different things I've been through. So it's an honor.
Yeah, it's an honor to have you here and for you to share, because like I said, you never, all this time that you've been with him, you never said anything, but I guess, why would you say anything? But I think, I just felt like, because it's not something you pursue professionally or as a hobby, it just sort of happens. I thought it would be good for people who are probably in the same situation. Like, you're not crazy. It's valid. There's ways to deal with it. You don't have to be afraid. Although I would probably still have a little bit of fear each time.
And I do. And when it happens, I'm always like, I can almost tell because I can feel the pressure on me. I almost feel like I'm going to have an anxiety attack where then I just have to let myself know. It's like, it's okay. Breathe, center yourself. Everything's going to be fine. Just let them know you're here in peace and, it's okay. So it is valid. And so if anyone else is experiencing that, I would definitely say, try to explore more if you want to. Or you could do what my mom did and just say, please don't come and see me anymore.
Exactly.
I don't want this ability.
You have control of it. So I think that was beautiful what you just said there. I think that would be really helpful is just breathing and centering yourself when you feel like, when you feel that presence and when you see them. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
So appreciate, so honored for you to tell this very personal story and being so public with it. I was so happy. I was like, would you be willing to do this? So thank you. So grateful.
Yes, of course.
And I just want to thank you all for listening and for this very special guest today. My name is Sharmila Mali. This is the Confident Healer Podcast, and we will see you next time. Bye. Thank you so much for listening. You can find information about the guest or any links I referenced in the show notes. And would you help me grow the show by doing these two things? Sharing the podcast with someone that you think needs to hear it and supporting the podcast by becoming a patron and giving monthly or making a generous one-time donation. It helps me grow the show and I can just focus on making great episodes for you. You can listen, find the show notes, and the PayPal link to donate all in one convenient location, theconfidenthealer.net. Thank you again for listening, and we will see you next week. Thank you so much for being here, and we'll see you next week.